I lift it up, shining in the light of your glory.
Amen. You love him today.
Pour out your power and love as we sing.
Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Good to be with each and every one of you today, and the ones that are listening in from the comfort of your home, we say God bless you.
Amen.
If you're here watching and listening for the first time, then God bless you.
Amen.
We're going to do the best we can with what we got. Amen.
Amen.
We've been given an opportunity to use the technology that The devil uses it and does his junk with it, and we're going to use it for God's glory.
That's right.
Amen. So we're going to just continue on, and Wednesday night service, Brother Bob will be here, and we'll be conducting it in the same way we are conducting it now. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
We'll start at 7 o'clock with just the crew that we got here, the 8 or 10 or so, a couple of musicians, and that's what we're doing. So we're okay with that. Everything's fine. We're washing our hands and doing all that. But we want to be like Martin Luther. We don't want to cause anything to happen to someone else because I noticed online there was somebody from somewhere, not a message believer, but they were just, you know, adamant they were going to have full church. And that's okay, but I'm like Brother Dale said, when Brother Brown said, she'll have thus saith the Lord or be still. Well, we don't have thus saith the Lord that we can put 90 people back in this building.
Right.
Not yet.
Right.
Okay? So we be still and know
who's
in control. Amen. So that's the way we're going to do it from now on. And until this thing is over with, you know, I was thinking yesterday about all the plagues and things that's hit this earth. And, you know, even in the time of Moses, I was reading in Leviticus in different places how that they would get kind of, they'd be sinning.
Yeah.
And God would send a plague.
Right.
But he would also send Aaron with the censer, which was to fire off the altar.
Right.
But now remember, it stayed the plague. It didn't eradicate it because there'd be 7,000 killed in one day, 20,000 killed before they could get through there. And that's the way I'm praying now that, Lord, we can't do anything about the ones that's passed on, but may we as the bride of Jesus Christ all over the world take that fire off the altar, which is not a literal fire now, it's inside of us, and take that censer and go out into the, don't go out into the world, you understand what I'm saying, but pray that God will stay this plague.
Amen.
Because that's what in the Bible, the whole Bible has plagues and different things that happen. And we had the Spanish flu we were talking about this morning, and it happened after the 1906 Azusa Street revival. The Spanish flu started in 1918 and killed 50 million people in the world. And a lot of our servicemen came home with it, and there was 50,000 people in the United States killed. But Brother Branham tells us every time we look at this, that influenza was one of the plagues that God poured out is in the seven church ages, 1954. I'm looking at it right now. When a mystery was revealed, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the people didn't move on. When the baptism of the Holy Ghost came on Azusa Street in 1906, people started turning it down. God sent a plague. All
right,
so what do we see now? People are turning the word down. People are turning the message of the hour down. I'm not talking about the world. The world's turned it down from the beginning. I'm talking about the people in our ranks that's turning this thing down, and God's sending a plague. And it's for the whole, it's a plague on the whole earth. It's not just a plague on a certain group of people. It's a plague on the whole earth. So we just pray that God will stay that plague. I was praying yesterday. I said, God, my children need salvation. My grandchildren, the people in this, on this wall down below me, they need salvation. We need to absolutely pray more earnestly because that's why God sends a plague.
Amen. Yeah.
He sends a plague on the people who reject the word of God.
Right.
He don't send it on us. I mean, we're like the children of Israel. We're in the land of Goshen.
Right.
You know, the plagues fell everywhere else, but the children of Israel, the chosen people of God, went to Goshen. Well, what's our Goshen? The word of God is our Goshen. So we come here to get the word out to you out on the internet, and for those of us standing here, a few of us here today, that are just, we're just, it's support people that's here alone. I want to reiterate that this is not normal, but we're not going to do away. Someone sent me a text message yesterday and wanted to know why that we were not letting the sisters play instruments anymore. That was the new norm. They didn't read Bob's email right, so it just wasn't said that way. This is temporary. We want them to stay home with their children. We want them to not get out.
Right.
Stay home with the children. I don't have anything if the sisters wanted to come, but we're just doing this because this is the pillar of the church. This is the pillar of the people, the deacons, the elders, not even the elders, the deacons, the pastors, the assistant preachers, deacons, song leaders. That's your spiritual leader of the church. And we feel that maybe being here that we can get it out to you. Remember, we're still sheep.
Right.
Sheep have to be led. Even the president told us yesterday, whatever you want to think of him, I really don't care. He's doing a pretty good job.
Right.
How would you like to be up there? So don't give no comment about that. That's just a bunch of baloney. But he's doing the best he can as a human being. But he told the people, he said, don't forget to pay your tithe. Don't forget to pay your offerings. While you're not going to church. So he did realize that everybody needs leadership. So we need to come to a place that we calm down and we do what needs to be done. We're not invincible on the outside guy, but we need to let the inside guy out because he's the invincible one.
Amen.
As we were singing this morning, Brother Joe was singing, you know, when death and sorrow, pain and all that's over with, we don't have to worry about it no more.
Yeah.
When our Lord comes back to earth again, all the sorrow, pain, and death, this will all be just won't even be a memory because the Bible says the former things will pass away. All the bad things you're not going to remember. So we're not going to remember any of this. But we got to get there first. So that's why we're doing this, to help. It's kind of funny that being preaching on revival, that remember what causes a revival. A plague falls or something happens on the earth causes a revival. So I hope this causes that revival that we've been looking for. I hope this causes that word revival that we'll get back into the word of God, even though we're separated out into the different parts of the earth, but we all come together under one roof, and that's the roof of the word of God.
Amen.
So let's bow our heads and pray before we get started, and then we'll begin on, on our subject of Journey of a Believer. We'll kind of recap Abram's journey, and then we'll get into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So let's bow our heads. Galatians 3:16 is where we're going to start from. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We pray now that you would be, Lord, the one that does the speaking. We know that we're very, very, very few in number, but you said we're two or three are gathered in my name, that there you'll be in the midst. I know we have different ones in different places watching in. Lord, may you comfort each one, Father, that we have more faith than we do fear.
Amen.
And that we'll take this thing, Lord, and we'll, as a Christian, we should get better because of this and not worse. We should get better. We should bind together more. We should trust you more and pray, Father. And I do pray now that you'll help our government, that you'll help the people that are there, that will do a job, that will do the right job and get this thing straightened out, Lord, because we still need people. Like Brother Dale said, this is not the end, but this is the beginning of something. So this is something that we're looking forward to, that word revival that'll bind us all together for that last push to get us out of here. Father, forgive us of our sins. Bless us today, Lord. Take care of each one. Just shield us from all this sickness, not just the coronavirus, but all the, any other kind of sickness, Lord. You said you heal all of our diseases. There's not one that you can't heal, Lord. We pray that you'd be with us and touch us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians 3, verse 16 through 18. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not unto seeds as of many. So it wasn't the natural lineage of Abraham, you might want to say, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And I say, this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before God in Christ, the law which was 430 years, in other words, 430 years after Abraham's death, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise. Okay? Everybody got that? But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Let's go to Hebrews 6 and then you can be seated. Hebrews 6 verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, look, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You may be seated in the Lord and is blessed to the reading of the word. Here we've come into allergy season and everybody's hacking and coughing. I don't think it's the coronavirus. Just a lot of pollen in the air, and I thank God for that because he's pollinating the whole world, and it doesn't matter. My bees yesterday, I was playing with my bees out there, you know, and letting the world go by, and they were just working away. They didn't, you know, they weren't scared. They were doing their job. Right. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to not be scared. We're going to do our job. Amen. All right? We'll do just like nature. We're just going to continue on, and we're going to truly pray that this thing takes an end real quick.
Amen.
Brother Brown says, who is this Melchizedek? Now, we know, if somebody maybe is watching in that doesn't know, sometimes we quote these quotes from, we believe God sent a prophet in the end time, a seventh angel message, which was guaranteed in the book of Revelations that there would be seven messengers to seven church ages. We believe we're in the last church age, and we believe that God sent a messenger in every age, to Paul, from Paul all the way down to this man we call William Branham. And please don't look it up on the internet because you're going to get all the bad. So, but you see us quote these quotes. We're quoting from a prophet that we believe God sent in the end time to give us a true revelation that we have got. Everybody got so off on different denominational ideas till Jesus Christ came and brought one message, not 1900.
Right.
He brought one message.
Amen.
All right. But we as man have divided it into 1500 or 1600 different denominational ideas. And they all think they're right. So I think God sent us a messenger, according to Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, Revelation 10, verse 7, that there was an end-time messenger sent, and that he was not God. He was a messenger sent from God, just like Paul. We quote Paul all the time. Why can't we quote William Branham or John G. Lake or the different ones that we do, mighty men? But we believe that William Branham was sent in the end time to bring us the message. According to Revelation 10:7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound the mystery, one mystery of God will be finished. And he told us here in 1965, he said, when Abraham met him, he was Melchizedek. Now remember, we're going to read that in chapter 17 here in just a little while. Because remember, chapter 17 is the type. Now remember, Abram never had the new birth. Abraham never was born again because he was in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament was under blood. I'll get it out in a minute. Was under the blood of bulls and goats. Thank you, Richard. Bulls and goats. Thanks for the help. And that was, his sins were covered, not eradicated. But now since Jesus Christ come 2,000 years ago, died on the cross, gave his blood, gave his life, and that life came back into the believer in 120 in the upper room, now God is residing in us, not just with us.
Amen.
God is not overshadowing us like he did in the Old Testament. He should be inside of us. Because Jesus said, I'll be with you, even in you, till the end of the world. So Abraham, remember, and Abraham never was a child of God. Abraham was a friend of God. But Abraham's journey, Abram to Abraham, that's what we're talking about now, the journey of a believer. We believe that we must go through three processes because three is the number of perfection. We must go through three processes of salvation. Now, many people teach once saved, always saved. That's okay if you were saved to begin with. If it was true, if God justifies you, he'll take you to glorification according to the book of Ephesians, I believe in there somewhere. It tells you that. Those who is glorified, he's justified, he's already glorified. But now remember, if you justify yourself, not good. No, that's you trying to justify you. And I don't want that. I want God to be the just one. And then the Bible says the just and the justifier are the same. All right, so I want the justification that God took. My sins, put them in the sea of God's forgetfulness. But I have a walk that I have to walk now that takes me on through to the indwelling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not just an anointing, or not just coming into a pew and sitting down, or not just beginning to read my Bible when I didn't have anything else to read. Or, you know, you understand what I'm saying. So when Abraham, he goes through this journey and he's coming to where he meets Melchizedek in chapter 17. We'll read it in a minute. The prophet tells us he unfolds here what all the attributes. Now, each one of us, if you're a born-again Christian today, you are an attribute of God. You were in his mind before the foundation of the world. You were a part of God. Now, you didn't know that while you was on earth. You didn't come to that knowledge until you get to Abraham's journey when he meets Melchizedek. All right? That's why you can, if you say once saved, always saved, that's okay if you continue with your salvation all the way to the end. But don't be saved in 1964 and then now in 2019 you're still smoking and drinking and cussing and doing the things you were doing. What'd you get saved from? Salvation is saving you from something. Repentance is turning and going in that direction, not in the direction you were going in. So that's what we're speaking of today. Through Abram's journey, because Abram made a lot of mistakes, but God gave the promise to Abram before he was Abraham.
Right.
So that's what we're going to look at. But Brother Abraham tells us, he unfolds here what all the attributes will do in the final end. Now, obviously, you and I are in the final end. If you're an attribute, that's your question. If you're an attribute and you believe this is the final end time, then every son of Abraham, which we are the what? Children of Abraham. Every son of the faith will absolutely do the same thing. So we're going to absolutely take the same journey that Abram took to have a name changed to Abraham, have one promised son. God told him, said, take Isaac, thy son, thy only son. Now, he had Ishmael and seven other kids. But they weren't the promise. There's a lot of things that goes on in your life that God will allow to happen, but there's only one promise. And that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He promised. For this promise is to you. Acts 2:38 tells us with promise. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise. See, that's what Abraham was looking for, but he couldn't find that city. You and I are that city he was looking for. Amen? Cities, not buildings. A city is people. Amen? Every son of the faith will absolutely do the same thing. So every one of us is going to have to be able to put in your journey what we're going to read here from Genesis 12 to about Genesis 20. We're going to see the walk of a man named Abram that walks and has many mistakes and does many things out of the will of God. But he comes finally to a place to where God tells him in chapter 17, he says, I've come. Now it's time for you to have the promised child. So let's read in chapter 12, right here under justification. We see that what is justification? Justification is chopping off your past sins. That means that God has called you, you have accepted his call, and you turn and you walk in another direction. Every sin that you have, if you're truly justified, every sin from that point backwards has been forgiven. What a wonderful thing. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Alright? So he's talking to, like I said before, what's the difference in Abram? If God's not a respecter of persons, what's the difference in Abram and Abram's neighbor? God may have called everybody that was around Abram, but Abram was the only one that physically got up and left. Get thee out of thy country. That's why you walk in many of us walked in circles of not gangs as in gang members, but we walked in gangs of people we enjoyed being around. Why? Because we all did the same thing. And you don't know if God called them, but he had to somewhere down in the life. He had to call. Every person has to be called of God. But you're the only one. You say, why me, Lord? Because you responded. You responded, and he knew you would respond. And being that you responded, you got up and moved and started doing the things Because what happened? He said, look, Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Now watch, it says from thy kindred.
Yeah.
But remember what's the first thing he does. He takes Lot with him. Unto a land that I will show thee, and I will, watch this, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee.
Yeah.
Not anybody else.
Right.
This is God, I, the great I am. I will make thy name great. We still call it now 6,000 years after, after he's done passed off the scene.
Right.
And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
Amen.
So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Now that was his first mistake. Remember what we were saying, that when God called Abram, and not his kindred, not anybody.
Right.
Abram gets up, and you know, it's just like we do when we first get saved. We come to a realization that we're lost, but we want everybody else to realize they're lost too.
Right?
Amen. You want to talk to your buddies and your friends and your girlfriends and all. Hey, man, I found this new. And sometimes they go like, you're going crazy. Well, that's kind of what Abram had to separate, and all of us did. I hope none of you run with the same gang you used to run with. We found a new gang to run with. Amen. The born again, we found some more eagles to run around with.
Right.
Amen. But Abram departed and he took Lot with him. And like I said before, it's a play on words, but he took a Lot with him.
Right.
Same way with you and I. Once we, even in justification, we still have the burden of sin in our past is gone, but the same person that made you do it. So in other words, a week or two or 3 weeks or a month later, if you're still walking in justification, you still got the desire to smoke and drink and cuss and run around and do all the things you did before. But God is still, though, making you sin conscious where you weren't sin conscious before.
Right.
He brings it to you, but what you do is you take a Lot with you.
Yes.
In every journey you take a Lot with you.
Right.
All right? But he's getting ready to separate from a Lot or from Mr. Lot.
That's it.
Amen? Right. He's getting ready to separate from him because somewhere you're going to have to separate.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen? If you don't separate, then you didn't get it to start with. You just got a good feeling. All right? So now remember, he departed, and he went to Canaan, verse 5. But now when he came to look at verse 7, I told him just keep scrolling through. Verse 7, and the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, appeared to Abram. Now, if you look in your margin, it talks about the Lord, and it calls theophanies. You see that God comes and he talks to Abram. Just like God, listen, did God not talk to you when you were starting in your journey?
Amen.
God didn't just save you and then say,
right.
Now later on in the journey, he might say, you know, you grow up, child.
Right.
But in your beginning of your journey, God's always right there. He's a daddy that kid has just begun to learn to walk.
Yeah.
And he's over there holding your hind end.
Mm-hmm.
He's holding you up. Getting you to walk, right?
Amen.
Because he knows you're going to fall.
Right.
He knows that. He knows you're going to fall.
Right.
So he's right there to pick you up. So the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land.
Right.
And there builded he an altar unto the Lord. First thing Abram started doing was started what? He started worshiping God.
Right.
He started coming to church. He started getting himself into at least into some kind of religious order different than where he was at.
Right.
That's it.
All right. And then remember, as you continue on up, I'm going to get my Bible here so we can fly through this. We've been through justification, but just to look at it again. Because what happened was in verse 10, just like now, what does a famine do? Remember what I said, what a famine does. A famine makes you do certain things. Number one, it makes you make a decision.
Right.
Whether to stay there or to move. All
right,
so that's what happened here. God never told Abram to leave and go to Egypt, which Egypt is always a type of what? The world. Amen?
Right.
So Abram, in his justification walk, he goes right back down into the world.
Yeah.
That could happen to you at justification.
Yeah.
Remember, that unclean spirit's still in there.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody okay with that?
Amen.
But you've come to a place to where you're listening to God more than you're listening to the devil.
Right.
All right? But he left because there was a famine. He had to make a decision. Abram went down into Egypt, and there he got into a lot of trouble. First thing he did is start lying. He lied about his wife. He said, "Oh, tell him you're my sister, so you saved my skin." Didn't matter if he was fixing to give his wife to the king of Egypt. He was trying to save me.
Right. That's it.
Amen. Right. Then, but you remember what happened. And look how much God was watching over Abram. See, because remember, Abram didn't truly have a revelation at the time that he was going to have that promised child with Sarai. Right? God just told him, "You're going to have a promised son, and you're going to do this, and I'm going to do this." And he never really, and listen, in your walk with God, when you first start your walk with God, you don't get a whole lot of details. The details come later. Do you understand what I'm saying? You didn't, first time you got justified, you didn't walk into church and know about the seven seals and the seven plagues and the vials and the Daniel 70 weeks. You were just struggling to be a Christian, because you still had that old black dog in there working on you, and it was deep inside. And God's out here trying to motivate you to get rid of that one that's on the inside. All right, everybody got that? Say amen. So he had Sarai. Now remember, it's Abram, which is high father, but now God's telling him he's going to be a father of many nations. Something's got to change. Same thing with Sarai. Sarai means contentious, and boy, she was there for a while. I would have been too if my husband would have said, "Hey, I'm going to lie to save my skin. You're going to go down there with that Egyptian guy, and you're going to marry him." But you know what? God preserved Sarai because he knew her womb couldn't be messed up.
That's right.
Until that promised son.
Exactly right.
Same way with the womb of your mind, the womb of your heart.
Yes. Right.
In all the things we did, God's preserved us.
Amen.
We just didn't know it yet. We just didn't know it.
Right.
We know it now.
Right.
That's like Brother Branham said. Brother Dale said the other day, there's that some little something, even if you did something wrong while you were doing the thing wrong, you had a something inside of you that said, "God, why am I doing this?
Right. Right.
Why am I continuing to go back and do
right.
this?" Why? Because the one that motivated you to do it is still there.
Right.
We got to get rid of that guy.
Exactly.
And that's why Abram had to get rid of Lot.
Right.
A lot. Abram had to get rid of Lot. He had to begin to separate himself, because this is a walk between you and God,
right.
not you and your friend and God, because
right.
your friend's always going to turn you away from God,
right.
your other old friends. You understand what I mean?
Amen.
We're friends here humanly, but we're brothers and sisters. We're part of the same family.
Right.
So we're family members helping family members, not
right.
friends helping friends.
Right.
Is everybody okay with that?
Amen.
Okay, because your friends will get you in trouble. Look all down through the Bible, all the friends that got people in trouble. All
right,
but we are sons and daughters of God, and we've come to a place to where God has revealed himself to us, not making us a special people, but we are a special people because God made us that way. We didn't. We didn't make us this way. God made us this way. Amen? Everybody okay with that? Now let's go to chapter 13. When he continues on, Abram finally gets out of Egypt. There you go. Just keep scrolling. Well, you got to get to chapter 13. There you go, Anderson. And Abram went out of Egypt finally. The Lord got him out of Egypt, but he took Lot with him again. So he took a Lot with him. Amen? And Abram was very rich. Somewhere down the line, same way with you and I. Now, we know he was physically rich, but you and I are getting richer and richer in God.
Right.
Even in our justification. Can you not remember in your journey, you're going, "Man, why are all these blessings piling up on me?"
Right.
And I know some people are going, "Well, I never got any blessings." Well, I don't know if you got justified or not, because you know what? You began your walk and God was right there.
Right.
Remember? That baby's right here and God's walking right here. He's not out, got you out yonder yet. He's got you right here.
Right. Amen.
And he's watching over everything you do. And he smacks your hand every once in a while, and that's okay. That's why you come to church, get your hand smacked and all that other stuff.
Amen.
Like Brother Dale always says, if I'm stepping on your toes, move your toes.
Right.
Grief. Kind of simple. And Abram was very rich. So in other words, God is blessing Abram, because he told him, "I'm going to bless you." He told Abram, "I'm going to bless thee."
Right.
So you start in your Christian journey, God will bless you abundantly.
Right.
Amen? All right, so anyway, he goes on a journey. He goes to Bethel, which is what? House of God. So he starts going to church. And that's the best thing to do. Okay. And Abram called on the name of the Lord in verse 4. Watch verse 6. And the land was not able to bear them. Who? Lot and Abram. They were both getting very wealthy.
Right.
All right. And Abram comes down and says, look, my angels are fighting with your devils.
Yeah.
May I say that? Because Abram, look, it's Abram's herdsmen. It's not between Abram and Lot.
Right.
It's between Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, the herdsmen of Abram. So in other words, listen, hadn't you ever realized, I was thinking about this the other day, hadn't you ever realized, though, when God started dealing with you, the devil didn't leave.
That's right.
He was right there with you.
Right.
And he was bringing his abundance of demons.
Right.
And God was bringing his angels with the blessings. And, you know, there's that constant contact.
Yeah.
I just got a revelation. We must tell the devil he's got to practice social separation. Devil, the government has told us. 6 feet. We wished. But in other words, there's a fight going on through your whole journey. We know that. Even now there's a fight going on, but I hope it's a lot more angels and a lot less demons. Amen? You say, I don't know about that. God said he'd take care of his kids, did he not?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So he took care of Abram, even during all this. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before us? In other words, what did he do? He told him, he said, look, you pick the best ground. I'll take what's left. And then what happened was, Lot lifted up his eyes and Lot looks at the green pastures and the plains of Sodom and this two nice cities sitting down there. And Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan and Lot journeyed east and they separated themselves one from another. Now Lot heads down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Abram does not go with him. Abram, there's a separation. So in justification, during the time of justification, when you're walking with God, there's things that's got to start being cut off.
Right. Yeah.
That you, even though you may still have that root of bitterness or that evil spirit inside of you attached to that soul that you have, you still got to have come to a place to where you have to say, look, I don't want to do that no more.
Right.
I'm going in that direction. You going in that direction, devil. I'm going in this direction. So anyway, Abram got rid of a Lot.
Right.
So then where did Abram what? He dwelled in the land of Canaan.
Yeah.
Now that's the promised land.
Yeah.
And Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, pinched his tip towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom, we know what happened. They were wicked. But now what did he do? Now look, and the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord said unto Abram, that's God speaking directly to Abram. And says after that Lot was separated. So see, God's fixing it. God didn't talk to him in that form until he got Lot out of the way.
Yeah.
Amen. When he got Lot out of the way, God's come. Look, after that Lot was separated from him,
right.
Lift up thine eyes and look from thy place where thou art, northward, southward, and eastward. Now he shouldn't have said eastward because he gave eastward to Lot. God don't worry about that. God don't worry about that. God said, Abram, you're my chosen guy. You look north, south, east, and west. I don't care if Lot's down there. I don't care if Sodom's down there. I'm fixing to change the whole deal.
Right, man.
You're going to possess the whole place. Remember, he told him, wherever the sole of your feet, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Not seeds, seed. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be numbered. Arise, walk through the land. What is footprints? Possession. Footprints of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Everywhere Abraham walked, Abram at this time, and Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plains of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there another altar. Now remember, he's building altars to God. Now remember in Genesis 14, that there was a battle happened, and then we just see the gist of it, so we'll go to chapter 15 and start with sanctification again, but chapter 14, Abram goes and saves Lot
right.
from dying, which is a brotherly thing to do. But what happens is God is, remember one thing's for sure. They kept trying to give Abram all this stuff back.
Yeah.
Remember all the kings down at the bottom, all the kings says, hey, I want to give you this. I want to give you. Abram said, nope. God has separated me. That's the old friends are coming back going, hey man, we're going to have a beer party Saturday night. 8 o'clock. So you can come. You don't have to drink. No, you don't have to drink if you want to. Stay away from that.
That's right.
Because you're separating yourself, Abram. You're not going to walk like that anymore. You're not going to get caught up in that anymore. You're not going to go back into Egypt anymore with the kind of attitude you had when the first time you went. So Abram does this great thing, and what happens in verse 18 is Melchizedek, which is a man, not a spirit. Melchizedek is a person, a man. He met Abram coming back from the slaughter of the kings, and what happened? He gave communion to him. And he said, bless you. Blessed him and said, blessed be Abram. Even in justification, after all the lying and cheating and all the lot that you brought with you, I'm telling you what God said about you. Because those who He's justified, He's already glorified. God knows this whole journey you're on. You just don't know it, but you better depend on God, because if God blesses you, blessed be Abram. Blessed be, put your name in there. Because you're walking in the journey that God has asked you to walk in, and He's going to bless you. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hands. And He gave him tithes of all. And then the kings of Sodom, they're trying to give him all this stuff back. And he says, I don't even want a shoe latchet. I don't want that. Listen, when you start in this Christian walk, all you need is God. All you need is God. You don't need an old friend to come to your house, especially on Sunday afternoon right before you get ready to go to church. Had a guy come by the other day, and he was a Jehovah's Witness. I'll say that online. That's okay. But it's about 4:30 on Wednesday afternoon. Well, I walk out, and hey, how you doing? What's your name? He told me his name. I said, what can I do for you today? He said, well, I want to tell you about the world. I knew he was Jehovah's Witness because he had the pamphlet in his hand. And I said, look, buddy, I said, if you can say what you got in about 15 or 20 minutes, I said, you can come in the house. I said, but we Christians go to church on Wednesday night, and I said, we're getting ready. My wife's cooking supper, and we leave about 5:30, 6 o'clock to go to church. I said, we do that on Wednesday night. Well, he just turned around, got back in the car, and left. But what person, though, would you, though, on Wednesday, not you sitting here, but what would, the devil does that. Even God will let the devil test you. Send somebody to your house about 5:15 on Wednesday afternoon. Yeah. And I can't believe that things happen. Things happened right before church.
Right.
Yeah. 6 days, nothing happens.
That's
right. Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Something happens.
Right.
Well, that ain't God.
Right.
That's all them kings of Sodom trying to give you something.
Right.
And you know what? Do like Abram. I don't need that. I'm going on to church. I don't need that. I'll deal with it when I get home. I'll deal with it when I get back. Even Brother Branham, remember on one of the services we just listened to. That's what he was talking about. He said, what do you mean? I said, he prayed for his mother, or somebody was in the hospital. Remember? They sent the note. It was his mother, right? And he said, God bless her. And he said, but I've got something I got to do here. The word's more important. Now, who of you would say that if your mother was in the hospital? Brother Branham's our example.
Right.
Okay, our cat gets the sniffles and we stay home, and it's usually on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Or your kids will come over on Sunday afternoon about 2. Yeah, anyway. That's not God doing that, though. That's the devil. We should be enough to know that that's the devil doing that. That's not God. But you know what? That's in our journey, because if it's in Abram's journey, it's going to be in our journey. Where the kings of Sodom are going to try to give you all kind of stuff on Saturday and Wednesday. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
But he said, all I want is what my young men have eaten and the portion of men which went with me. So what? He's getting, taking care of his people. But he said, I don't want none of that.
That's right.
Let them take their portion. In other words, what? God is your portion. God is the one that gives you your portion. Let's read one. Let's go to Romans 3 if you can, brothers. I'm going to take my time this afternoon. We usually get out at 4 o'clock. Is that all right? Because I want to get finished with it. I want to get to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Being justified freely by His grace. Remember, that's not you justifying yourself. You justify yourself, you're always going to go wrong. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a perpetuation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness, not yours, the remission of sins that are past. Remember, we don't need forgiveness for sins for tomorrow. We don't know what they are.
Right.
That's Catholicism. We don't want that.
Right.
But we know what we did yesterday.
Right.
We know what we did this morning. God, forgive me of my sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just. Now, He's not might be, He is just.
Right.
All right, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So I want the justifier to look at me and say, you're just because of me.
Right.
You're just. Ezekiel 11, verse 17. Now, we're going to hang with this one all the way up to the Holy Ghost because this should explain and help us explain how God deals with us as a Christian.
Yeah.
Ezekiel 11 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries. Now, what's he doing? He's bringing us out.
Yes.
What is redemption?
Right.
Redemption, bringing out, right? Coming out of the world and going into Christ.
Amen.
All right? And assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things. Here we go. We're walking in God. He's taken away all the detestable things in our life. Has everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
Therefore, and all the abominations, therefore, from thence, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. Now, remember, you might say that's the Holy Spirit, but now remember we had a prophet of God to help us understand what the Bible's talking about, that is not the Holy Spirit. That is a new spirit that we're going to look at in sanctification. That is a new spirit to put you in a religious order or to get you higher up with God and to get that unclean spirit out of you. Because what is sanctification? Cleaned and set aside. Not put in service, but cleaned and set aside to be put into service. Everybody got that?
Right.
And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take out what? That old stony, rebellious, sinful heart that was so stony. You know, that's like this. You can't move it. But God said, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. What? A heart of flesh is real pliable. It's able, God is able to mold you as the potter molds the clay. You can't start molding clay out of a rock.
Right?
You have to have soft clay to mold with. So God softens us up, and that's what He's doing, remember? And remember in our Christian journey, you remember how that you always feel the sweetness of God. And you say, well, don't you now? Well, not as much as I did. Sorry, God just wants you to walk sometimes and believe. But you start in your journey of mind, everything made you cry. A song will make you cry. Preacher will make you cry. You know, somebody talking to you about the Lord, and you just start crying. Why? Because God is softening up that old stony heart that you had before. Same way with Abram. Abram. You're Abram. He's what? He's walking us through something that we're not used to. Because remember, we were born in sin, shaping in iniquity, spouse from our mother's womb. We came here a liar. We came here with that old Adamic nature, that old nature that that Satan gave us. Because of the fall, because of our carnal mind, it was attached to us from our birth. First thing kid does is lies. They'll steal. They'll do all kinds of stuff as a kid, not knowing. Even you as like you walking in God. But he's got to take that old stony heart out and put a heart of flesh in there. Now, not a true heart transplant, but it is a heart. The heart of you is the center. The heart of an apple is the core. So the core of you, or the heart of you, is being changed. Amen? So now in sanctification, let's go now to Hebrews 2, verse 11. Let's read these. And then we'll get into what he's talking about, because I came across a little something I should have brought out the other day that I didn't. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified. Now, what is sanctify? It's a compound meaning, cleaned and set aside for service. All right, it has two meanings to it. Cleaned, because the Bible tells you sanctified. Brother Dale read it this morning, by the washing of the water of the word. All right. They who are sanctified, let's read again. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. God's brought you into a closer relationship to him, Brother Bram calls a religious order,
yes.
For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto thy brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. Now let's read Ezekiel 36, and then brothers go to Genesis 15:1 after we read this. For I will take from you among the heathen, and gather you out of the countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water. Now look, we read Ezekiel 11. It told us he was taking the stony heart out, putting the heart of flesh in. He goes further now in Ezekiel 36. Says basically the same thing in verse 24. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. He brings in water. And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. And all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. Now he's back in there. But now look. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Basically the same thing. But now he's saying, I'm going to put a new spirit within you.
Exactly right.
All right. And you look in the Bible, you see where the Bible says the unclean spirit goes out of a man. Walks in dry places, seeketh rest. What? He's coming out of your inward house. Out of your inward house. Out of that heart that we've been talking about. That now there's a new spirit put in there. And we're going to read what Brother Brown says about that. But let's get into sanctification with Abram. Chapter 15. Let's go and see the journey of Abram. Now remember, this is Abram. And after these things, after you've come out of justification, you should know when you enter into sanctification,
right,
because that unclean spirit goes out.
Right.
You have new desires.
Right.
You have new feelings.
Right.
You have more of a want to do the right thing, because all that's gone now.
Right.
You should feel like that. And I told you in my journey of sanctification, I believe I was forgiven of my sins, but I went back to the water to be baptized. Now, the water has nothing to do with it physically.
Right.
Everybody understand that, even on the internet? That physical water can't wash your sins away.
Right.
The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that washes your sins away. But you do, like he said in Ezekiel, I'm going to clean you up by the washing of the water of the Word in the New Testament. But then he says he's going to wash you with clean water. What is clean water? Clean water is what you hear. Did you hear cleanness out there? No, you did not hear cleanness in the world. No, the only thing you hear clean is here. I'm not saying this building, but when you come into reading your Bible, studying the message of the hour, coming in here and preaching, coming in here the messages, that's clean water. That's water that is washing you, and you should feel. I felt I need to be re-baptized, so we went to the water in January, which was quite warm. But anyway, when I came out of the water, man, I just tingled all over, and I felt so empty.
Yeah.
You said you feel empty? Yeah, I felt empty at that time.
Yeah.
Because your symbolism of water baptism is you die,
right?
And whatever goes down there, you need to leave down there.
Right.
I don't want, if you come back up with the same thing you went down with, you just got wet.
Right.
Physically.
That's right.
But if you say, God, I'm going to go and I'm going to, that's why, how many times have I told you, what do we do when we go to baptizing? We're going to a funeral.
Right.
Something's got to die.
Right.
We're going to bury them in
right.
baptism and can't bring them up in what the Bible says, newness of life.
Yeah. Right.
and walk in newness of life. That's what Abram was doing. He started walking after these things. The word of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that theophany, came unto Abram in a vision. Now he's showing him a vision. He's expanding his sight. Now he's come to him in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? He's reminding God of what he promised him. Oh, I like that. Brother Brown, he tells us many times, he said, God don't mind you reminding him of his promises. He likes for you to remind him of what he's already said about us. Amen. He loves for you to quote the Bible. I don't think he likes for you to quote anything else. Right. You know, right. Quote the promises back to him. Right. What will thou give me, seeing I go childless? Because remember, in your journey as Abram, you become a Christian. You start doing the things of God, but you don't understand all the intricacies of how Jesus came and preached, and you just know that he died for your sins. Right? We're not word theologians when we walk in justification and part of sanctification. No, we're just struggling to stay alive. Amen? We're just struggling to understand. That's why Jesus said, he said, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says, and thou shalt be saved. That's pretty simple. But remember, Abram has to become Abraham, because there was a promise given to Abram, but I'm going to read you here in a minute where God gives a promise to Abraham. And at that point, Abraham knows the whole story then, because God just told him, get up and move. I'm going to bless you. You're going to have a lot of children. He never told him where he was going to end up. He never told him it was going to be with Sarah, not Sarai. God never told him that. Why? He don't want to pile all this on top of you. He knows you're human. He knows you're going to have problems in life. So he's not going to load you up with anything but blessings to begin with. But now remember, there's a certain time in your life that God's going to come to you and say, look, take that promised kid that I give you, and you take him up on that mountain, and you sacrifice him. That's your only promised son. Take thy son, thine only son, Abraham, and take him up there and what? Find out if you're obedient enough to continue this journey. We'll get into that with adoption, but we got to get through sanctification here. It's only 2:00. We just starting service.
Yeah, come on.
Amen? Yeah. We're here to 4:00 anyway, so anyway. And all the people at home are going, what does it matter? Put on some more coffee. Get the popcorn out. And that's really okay as long as you listen. And Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. Remember, Eleazar comes up and helps him in the process of finding a bride. Hello. For Isaac. So Eleazar, he's saying, oh, I've got this Eleazar, but that's all I got. But remember, this Eleazar is going to find a bride for Isaac later on in the journey. So let's don't forget that Eleazar. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. But it wasn't his. Because look, he says, behold, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, this shall not be thine heir. I'm not talking about this one. That old nature you were born with, that old house, that thing that lived in you, you got to get rid of. That's not your heir. Amen? The Bible tells us that you will not be part of the bondwoman, you'll be part of the free woman. The free woman was Sarah, which is going to be turned into Sarah. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. So now Abram says, it's going to come from me. It's not something born in my house. It's not any of my old friends or my old devil. It's going to come out of me.
Right.
What did I tell you the other day? The Bible says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. The one coming out of their own bowels shall be. But now remember, he didn't say it's going to be with Sarah either at that point. So he's given Abram revelation just like he's given to us.
Right.
A little at a time.
Amen.
Amen?
Right.
There's a lot of things we don't understand, but now we should be able to understand it now in our Christian walk. We should be Abraham, able to understand what's going on. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. He keeps showing this to Abram that, look, all this whole world is yours.
Yeah. Yeah.
If thou be able to number them, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. And who is that he? That he is God. Counted it to Abram for righteousness. Even in my journey of sanctification, I'm coming to a place that God is reminding me of all the promises that he started out with. Amen? I am the Lord that brought you. How many times has God even now, and I hope we do that now, even as we're not all assembled, I hope though he has taken you back. He has taken me back to my journey when I began.
Amen.
To make sure that I'm okay. God knows he's okay, but I want to make sure I'm okay. I want to check up a little bit. Abram, look back. It's okay to look back to see that. Let's don't look back and want to go back.
Right.
Abram didn't go back. He looked back, but the Lord said, look. I'm the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Now, that's the first thing God spoke to him was while he was right there.
Right. Yeah.
To give thee this land. He had to call him out to get him to this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old. Now, what's he doing? Now, watch. We remember what Brother Brown said about this. This whole journey of Abram has got to come to a place that when you get into sanctification, and we'll read it in a little bit, but I'm going to read this, that Abram is going to have to learn to make sacrifices
right.
that he didn't learn to make.
Right.
Abram is going to have to learn, and look what he does. He takes an heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat of 3 years old. Remember, a she-goat is used for an ignorance offering. I've got that in my Bible, and I really like that. Because even if you plead ignorance, God says you still got a sacrifice you got to do. Numbers 15, verse 27 says that is an ignorance offering. You bring a she-goat to offer him. And a ram of 3 years old. Brother Bram said, look at the threes. Turtle dove and a young pigeon. A turtle dove and a pigeon was given because of healing.
Right.
You'll hear that. Brother Bram will tell us that.
Right.
It took a prophet to tell us that. How are you going to do that if you just keep looking at it like that? But the healing of the turtle dove and the young pigeon is they didn't tear it apart. Now, they twisted the head off. But it was because of healing. And we'll look at that in just a little bit. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And that's what Brother Brown tells us. That's for divine healing. Showing divine healing can come. Your broken body can be healed. All right. And when the fowls came down. Now, look, there's going to be fowls. Come back into your life. Can we say foul spirits? Those are F-O-U-L, but with a little play of words, it's the fowls came down and Abram what? Abram, being in his journey, he drove them away. Why? Because remember, in sanctification, the unclean spirit goes out. But now the Bible tells you the unclean spirit goes out, walks in dry place, seeks his rest, findeth none. That's in Luke, I believe it is. Will somebody help me with that? That's in the book of Luke. It's somewhere it's in the Testaments. And then that unclean spirit's going to come back. That foul spirit is going to come right back and try to enter in. And it says enter into my house because God hasn't possessed you yet. You've been possessed still by the devil, but it's gone out of there. And he divided them in the midst. And when the fowls came down, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, Brother Abraham said, in the evening time, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, now this is while Abram is in a deep sleep. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs. Now we know that. He's telling us now that is Israel that's going to be 400 years in the land of Egypt. Everybody got that? Say amen. But how can we spiritually apply that? You and I, your seed shall be in a strange land. Listen, when you get born again, everything out there is strange.
Right.
So he's heading toward, even in sanctification, when the unclean spirit goes out, you don't act like that unclean spirit no more.
Right.
And all these things are strange in the world. They're just strangers. Isn't that right? I hope in your life you know one thing for sure. That under when you got sanctified by the washing of the water of the Word every Sunday and every Wednesday and every time you match play and every time you converse with your brothers and sisters, that God is washing you and that those fouls are being driven out. But now we're talking about the inside guy right now. And we're talking about God giving you a new spirit to be able to even talk to God. And we'll get to that in just a minute where Brother Branham tells us that. So look, you're going to be a stranger in a land that's not yours. Theirs, I mean. And shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. That's when physical Israel went down to Egypt and was in bondage for 400 years.
Yes.
And then that nation whom I serve, I'll judge. And then he keeps going on down. But look right here, verse 17. It came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, and behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed through those pieces.
Right.
Remember that light. That light. Watch what the prophet of God tells us. But your Brother Brown tells us, and that's true. God, even in justification, but in sanctification, God's still going, look, you deserve hell.
Right.
What you've done, you deserve hell.
Right. That's right.
You're not my child yet. Yeah, you're my child in my mind. I know that, but you don't know that. See, in God's mind, he knew exactly what Abraham was going to do at the end of his journey. But Abram did not, because Abram's standing there going, I'm Abram.
Yeah.
I've got a wife I've lived with for 60-something years. She's barren. We've had relations for all that length of time, and we've never had a kid.
Right?
And I'm supposed to be that you can't count it for the sand on the sea. You can't count my heirs. And I've got one heir, and it's Eliezer, and he wasn't even born from me. Because the way he was looking is Abram was going to give his ownership to Eliezer because he didn't have any children. Because that's what he just said back up there where we read it. My heir that was born in my own house. Well, it was born of a servant, I guess. It wasn't born of him. But anyway, look, in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram saying, look, watch, he comes right back. And says, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Ites and the Ites and the Ites and the Amorites and the Jebusites and, like I said, Sunday and the Websites. All right? So now, here's the point that I want to make real quick. What does Sarai mean? Sarai means contentious. All right? She's a contentious woman. And watch what happens in your walk of sanctification when the unclean spirit goes out, the devil is still going to talk to you. So we're going to make Sarai the devil. Because the devil heard God tell you about a plan. Right?
Yes.
Right? In that beginning, he said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to give you children and I'm going to give you this and that and the other. Well, Sarai must have got a different revelation than what God had. Amen? Because she's going, look, she had a handmaid, an Egyptian. Now, this ain't part of the plan.
Right.
This is the permissive will coming in, not the perfect will of God. Perfect will of God, Abram didn't know because he was still Abram.
Right.
I'm telling you. When you get born again, you should know the perfect will of God. Now, whether you do it or not, it's your choice.
Right.
But now under sanctification, you really don't.
Right. Yeah.
You may say, I'm going to do this, and I think this is the right thing to do, and I'm going to go down this path, and you go. Remember, God's no's are the best yeses you'll ever get.
Yeah.
All right? Because if God tells you no, he knows that if you go past here, you're going to really mess up. So reevaluate what you've been thinking and go in another direction. That's physically and or naturally and spiritually. But when you're born again, we should not have these. If you look in this whole bottom line of this, look at Abram. He just really don't know where to go. He don't have a rudder. He's got a boat. He's got water. But he don't have a rudder. What's the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is our rudder. If it moves this way, that's the way you move. He didn't have that rudder yet. He's kind of just fumbling through life. And then all of a sudden, his beautiful wife says, I got it figured out.
Yeah.
We need to go in that direction.
Yeah.
And she's so convincing that Abram says, okay, right? So Sarah said unto Abraham, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. She's like the devil. The devil blames the Lord on everything. You know, the devil don't blame himself. Listen, the devil don't say, I made you do that. No, he said, now listen, didn't that happen in the garden? Eve, I know you got a blessing. I was there when Genesis 1 came apart there. When God said, let us make man our own image and have dominion over the sea and let's multiply and replenish the earth. Same spirit was on Sarai. Well, I got this new program, Abram. Adam, here's the way we need to do it. Because it don't look like we're getting anything done right here. And that's the way it has been in your life. A lot of times in my life, I know it's been that way. You sit there and grind your wheels and you get nowhere. Why? Because it's not the perfect will of God. If we're, look, the footsteps of the righteous are order of the Lord. If you go in one direction and you're just sitting there spinning your wheels, it goes a different way. That may not be the perfect will of God, but like Brother Dale says a long, long time ago, God will let you work under permissive will because you're a free moral agent. But there's somewhere it's got to work back to the perfect, because this right here works right back to the perfect will of God. He uses the same two people. He doesn't switch players. He uses the same Abram and Sarah to turn them into Abraham and Sarah to bring forth the promise. But right here, we get a little bit mixed up in sanctification because we hadn't got that rudder, the Holy Ghost, the guide. Brother Bram calls us the guide, right? Because the Bible says he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost, right? And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Blame it on the Lord. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may attain children by her. Now, that's not the promise. But God allowed it to happen. What? To bring something in called Ishmael. Because you always got to have good and evil. But watch. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, and she was an Egyptian. Brought a little of the world back in. Huh. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. Oh, he was enjoying himself. And all of a sudden the devil comes back in because the unclean spirit gone out. Now he's coming back. The devil's a master at manipulation. A master. He says, okay, I can't work this way, but I got a little gap. That's what Brother Bram said about Eve. He found that little gap. He found her little weakness and he went right to it. Same way with this. Through Sarai, she's telling Abram, now look, after he'd been 10 years in the land of Canaan and gave her to husband Abram to be his wife, and he went in unto her and she conceived. When she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Now look, Sarai brings this, that's how the devil works. He brings in his plan and he gives you his plan, okay? And it works. But he's not satisfied with that. And Sarah said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. I think to be real honest, I think physically she's getting back at him for sending her to Egypt to try to marry that Egyptian, you know, shipping her off. My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do to her as it pleases thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly, what'd she do? She sent her out. She separated. But now remember, the angel of the Lord didn't forget this union of permissive will. There was a child brought forth. And then after a long time, we see that when Abram become Abraham, he even says, oh, that Ishmael may live before you. He still don't have the full revelation of the word.
Right.
Just like all of us. We don't have the full revelation of the word yet, but we're walking.
Right.
All right. So anyway, to save time, let's go to verse 12. Now this is the promise God told him, said, look, he'll be a wild man. His hand will be against every man.
Yep.
That's over there now, brother. You know, he's talked about Iran and Iraq and the different ones. That's Ishmael's kids.
Right.
They're always against the promised kids, or Israel, the natural promise.
Yeah. Okay.
His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spoke him, thou God seest thee. Have I? Okay. Wherefore the well was called, whatever that is. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son. Abram's the one that named him. Ishmael.
Yes.
And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. Four score. Four twos is eight. 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Now look, Genesis 17. Tell you what, let's stop right there and let's read what Brother Ram says about this. Real quick. Is everybody okay? We all right? Nobody's trying to fall asleep yet? If you'll stick a big enough piece of candy in your mouth, we may have to pray for you for choking, but you won't go to sleep. All right, look. Let's go to quote number two. You're good. There you go. Watch close. Now, he's explaining what brother Abram is going through. Now, he calls him Abraham, but remember, he's still Abram. Watch close now. Then when he came down, the Holy Spirit, to talk to Abram in the garden, out there where he was laying on the hill, he put Abram to sleep. Now, Abram, you haven't got one thing to do, all right? You lay here now. And Abram went to sleep. You're out of the picture. And next thing, now what's God to do? He's confirming and giving an evidence. Because remember, when he wakes Abram up, he still tells him, I'm making a covenant between us. Hey, you got to do these things right here. Listen. Excuse me. Listen, if you want to be healed, how he's going to do it. Then Abram, I'm shutting you out of the picture. I'm putting you to sleep. Then before Abraham came a black thickness. Every sinner deserves to go to hell, blackness. Then after that, a smoking, burning furnace every sinner deserves. Abraham, that's what you deserve. But beyond that went a little white light. Now, like I said last Sunday, that's that little white light that follows you all the days of your life.
Right.
Remember,
amen.
Redeemed have angels.
Right.
You don't know it's there. And boy, some of the things I did, he probably, like Brother Brown said, he blushed a lot. But he was there guiding you. Because God knows what you're going to do.
Right.
God knows you're going to continue on. Or he knows you're not going to continue on, and he'll just leave.
Yes.
Right. Because we're special people, but we all came the same way.
Right.
We all had the same experience.
Right.
We all had to make a choice to become a Christian. Mm-hmm. I couldn't help but being a Christian, some people say. I was a little different than that. And if you really dig down into their life, yeah, they had to, one day Abram had to choose to stay there with Lot or send that Lot out of here.
Right.
Same way with right here. Now God's saying to Abram, I'm fixing to do the work. You're not gonna, your works are nothing. Because God's the one that's doing this. Abram, that's what you deserve. But beyond that went a little white light. That little white light went right between those pieces of sacrifice. Because remember, sanctification is clean and set aside for service. What made Israel clean? The sacrifices. Amen? The sacrifices is what made Israel clean. And that's what he's under now. He's showing him, though, that white light is still there. The white light moving, showing, making a confirmation. And I believe, and you look in your journey of sanctification, as God comes closer to you, he does confirm a lot of things. He confirms the covenant that he made with you. All right, making a confirmation, showing to Abram that he would do someday through his seed Isaac, bringing in Christ for the supreme sacrifice.
Right.
Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, number three. This is the hidden life in Christ. You've seen people that was nice, but you just couldn't hardly stand to be around them. There's something about them. They got a creative power around them. It just seems to be different. I'd like to stop here, if it was possible, and tell you some things on that. You're a little creator yourself, and you are.
Yes.
Because what? He said he'd give you a new spirit. Now, that spirit isn't God's spirit. That's your spirit. God gives you a new spirit, then he says, I'll put my spirit in him.
Right.
But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit, to make your nature a little more gentle. Now, not completely burn it out because God hadn't come in there yet. Remember, you're cleaned and set aside, not put in service. The jar has still got the lid off so that unclean spirit can go right back down in that jar. But when God seals you by the Holy Ghost, He seals Himself in and seals the jar. All right? Then He puts you in service. Like Brother Brown said, do you see that where Brother Brown said a preacher should not be preaching without being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Wow. How about that? Wow. But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit, make your nature a little more gentle and settle down. Or He couldn't even live with you. Now remember, He's fixing to dwell inside of you, not with you, inside you. So He's got to get you fixed up. Now you can't do that. That's what He was telling Abram. You can't fix yourself up. I'm going to just lay you down and kill you. Alright? So He has to get you fixed up before He can come in. I'll give you a new spirit. Then you take Him anywhere. You go all kinds of places. He's got to get you fixed so you can entertain Him right. Amen. When you were in the bars, when you were all doing the things of the world, you weren't entertaining God. You were entertaining the other guy. Alright? Alright, number four, enter veil. I love this. I love this message. Notice, you put a new spirit. God has to give you a new spirit or you couldn't even get along with Him. Wow. You can't get along with yourself. That old devil spirit you had in you, we all had one. Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah.
And you got to remember when that leaves too. You better. Because the unclean spirit's got to go. Remember, Dwight Moody says, God will fill those who are not full of themselves. All right? So He's got to put a new spirit in you so you can get along with His spirit. Amen? I will put a new spirit in them and I will put My spirit in them. Now that's what we're fixing to talk about now in a minute with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And He said, after He's given you a new spirit, that's you. Don't get it confused with God's spirit. It's not. It's your new spirit so you can get along with the Holy Spirit if He ever gives it to you. If He ever gives it to you. Because that's what you do. When you come under sanctification, that's okay, you can go on. When you come up to sanctification, you become, Brother Bram says, it's a religious order. What? You become more religious or more wanting to do what God tells us to do. All right? Because the unclean spirit's driven out. But now look, like Brother Dale was saying this morning, I've always said this. That is the most dangerous place you can be because look, if Abram would have woke up from that vision and said, okay, God, I'm all right. I'm just going to stay right here. And I'm going to keep Sarai and Hagar and Ishmael. And this is the promise. And Satan's going, yeah, man, you feel good. You got the right. You know, you still got your wife and you still going to the same church and you still got the same pastor and you believe the message because Brother Branham was a prophet and we believe we can recite Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 7. The devil loves that. Boy, what the devil hates is that he can't get back in that inner guy. God's got it sealed and he can't get back in. And then you come to another level of now that God's going to meet you. And you're going to have to do something that really hurts. Everybody okay? We're all men here today. We know what circumcision is. And he had circumcision at 90-something years old. So, but now that's a type of us, though, coming to a place to where you got to make a decision. All that old skin, that old what? Adamic nature. That's all be gone. So let's read that now. Let's go to Genesis chapter 17, if that's okay, maybe about 30 more minutes. Is everybody all right? Are we okay? It's not even supper time yet. I'm sorry for those of you online. We don't eat dinner at 6 o'clock. It wasn't called the Lord's dinner.
That's right.
It was called the Lord's supper, and it was in the evening. Okay, so we eat supper. Us Southerners have always been right. We eat dinner. Hey, man. We eat dinner in the middle of the day. We eat supper at night because it was the Lord's supper, not the Lord's dinner. Whatever that had to do with anything, it just probably made some people mad. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Now look, and when Abram was 99 years old, you think you're too old for God to deal with you? No, I don't think so. And listen, truly, why did, if he's the father of our faith and he's the one that we're supposed to look at, why did God let him go 99 years before he comes into this new birth that we're talking about? Why did he let you get 30 years old? I'm just saying. Why did he let you get 25 years? Why did he let, remember this, when I see this, I always remember when Brother Branham went across the curtain of time and that woman came up and hugged his neck and said, "My precious brother," and said the angel looked at him and said, "Don't you remember her?" Well, I mean, he didn't remember her, because she was 90-something years old when she got saved in his meeting. She was a 90-something-year-old woman, probably all, you know, bent over, but now she was a brand-new young woman. I think about that, you know. Doesn't matter how old you are.
Yeah.
Come to the Lord. He'll give you a new birth. And when she received that new birth at 90-something years old, she was just as young as she was when she walked across the curtain of time and hugged that prophet's neck at 18 to 20 years old. I wish we'd realize that when we receive the new birth, that changes us in our soul. That changes us, everybody, back to the same age. 18 to 20 years old. We're all young. That's why we should be vibrant inside, whether our body hurts or not. We should be inside, as Brother Dale says, a revival. Now, his revival is not in that 80-year-old body. My 60-year-old body. The revival's the inside guy. Denying what the outside guy, but God, to show example to all of us, he let Abram live a good long life before he brings him to circumcision. And when Abram was 99 years old, just bear with me a few minutes, the Lord appeared to Abram, now remember, a capital L-O-R-D, appeared to Abram and said unto him, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before," and they never told him to be perfect before, because he couldn't. And you can't. But he is now requiring to walk before me and be thou perfect. Or in other words, I'm going to bring you to this completion of bringing this promise to pass. Everybody got that? Because he told him, "I will," way back yonder, when he was like 70 years old. He said, I will do this, I will do that, I will do this. But now watch. He comes right back in Genesis 17 and starts all over in verse 6. We'll get to it in a minute. Hang right there. "I will, I will, I will, I will." Listen, if God's not doing this, it's not worth it.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. Come on, people. If God's not doing this all, it's not worth it. Because who's doing it? There's only two spirits.
Right.
We don't want to be religious at this time now. We want to be a born again son and daughter of God. We don't want to be religious. Religious people are going to go to hell.
Right.
Because what does religion mean? Covering.
Right.
We don't want to make our own covering. That's what got Adam and Eve in trouble. They made their own religion or their own covering. God took his covering, ripped the skins off of them lambs and threw them in there and said, "Look, that ain't enough clothes you got on. Put this on."
Right,
when you get born again, women and men, you'll put on clothes, not take them off. And said unto him, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly." Watch him now. To me, I'm going to be a little more dramatic, because God is, listen, when you come to the new birth, to me, I believe God rejoices more when you receive him, the inward man, his spirit, than he did when he created the world. Because he created the world knowing that if he didn't create the world, you couldn't be standing here today and receive the new birth. So I believe that's his joy. Talking about somebody screaming and shouting. Remember, the Bible says they rejoiced. Amen. They rejoice. And I'm sure he had a good time making all the stars and everything, but what was he making them for? His motive, his last part, his whole motive was making that so that he can come inside of you.
That's why
we need to see what Brother Dale's talking about. He's coming, the Son of Man, physically, flesh man, is not going to be on the earth. He's physically flesh man in your earth. The Son of Man is the collective body of Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I'm talking about that today. So now watch. God's going to get some, he's going to be dramatic here. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee.
Right.
Now thou shalt be a father of many nations. Now he told him that a long time before.
Right.
But he's fixing to what? Reveal how he's going to do it.
Right.
Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, high father. But thy name shall be Abraham. In other words, your name was whatever it was. Sinner. Now, I'm going to make you a saint.
Right.
Or a Christian. That's our new name. Brother Brown told us what our new name was. We're Mrs. Jesus Christ now.
Amen.
Listen, you didn't want a different name before this happened to you. You were satisfied with people going, hey, Luis, let's go have a beer. But see, when they picked the phone up and said, hey, Luis, let's go have a beer now, Luis goes, I ain't at home. I don't know who that guy is.
Right?
Right? I don't know who that guy is. You don't, that thought's not even in your mind. Amen?
Right,
neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham.
Right.
For a father. What does Abraham mean? What? Father of many nations.
Right.
Because look, folks, when you're walking even in justification and sanctification, Brother Brown says you don't even preach until you get baptized,
right.
But he said don't preach until you've had that back side of the desert
right.
experience, which is the new birth. Listen, and I'm going to say this, and I ain't going to back down one bit. We got a lot of preachers in this message that are just sanctified.
Right, right.
That they think they got the Holy Ghost because they got this and that and the other feeling, or Brother Branham. I'm just saying. Because you can't preach and continue on in the life they're in. That's what I'm saying. Watch the life. Brother Branham says, always watch the life. The life takes them away, more away, more away from God. All these people that think you can have polygamy and that's what the message is all about and you can have all these things. That's not, they can't be born again.
Right.
Now that's not saying, listen now, that's not saying though you can't get caught in error, but you got to come out because God promised you you would walk in truth. But I believe people are in a sanctified condition, think they got the Holy Ghost and God shows them truth and they turn it down. That makes them worse. Jesus, Jesus. And not get anything. Lord, have I not come and cast out devils, spoken, preached the gospel? Judas, what? Judas is going to walk up and say, hey, you give me a spirit to preach and cast out devils. And Jesus is going to say, but you denied me. You were doing good until that because all these others, you know, even, you know, it's kind of strange because the devil always argues. So Judas is going to say, well, now, you call Peter devil. You call Peter, said Satan, get out of me. Peter denied you three times. But you know what God's going to tell him? Peter went to Pentecost. Peter went and received what I was telling you I was going to send you. If you would have waited long enough, I'd have given it to you. Same way with all of us. That's why the Bible says, depart from me, I never knew you. That word K-N-E-W is not knowing. That's new as in relationship between Adam knew his wife Eve. So that's an intimate relationship of intercourse.
Exactly.
Amen? And that's what we're doing. We're having intercourse with what's the problem with us saying we have intercourse with Jesus Christ? But what the problem is people go, well, I'm making love with Jesus Christ and it's not him.
Right.
It's the devil.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, that's what they're doing. That's why he come up and say, Lord, have I not cast out devils? In other words, have I not? Jesus said, no, you never knew me.
Right.
You might have knew of me. You might have got sanctified, but you let that unclean spirit come back in you and drive you in another direction.
Right.
I don't know how I got off on that, but somebody needed it maybe. Neither shall thy name anymore be called sinner, but thy name shall be called Christian. Because look, in Abram, how many children did he have? One wild kid. Right? One wild kid. That's the same way with you and me. But when you get born again, look at the spiritual multiplication of getting born again. Once you get born again, have the right birth, have the right child, you can stand behind the pulpit preachers, you can go to work, laity, and you can produce children of God. But God's not going to let you do that in sanctification because the seed's not there. It's coming, but it's not there yet. Sure, you can talk about God, but remember, I remember a lot of times I tried to explain a lot of things about the message, and I knew I was sanctified. I knew I hadn't received the new birth. But I can't put things together because they'd ask you questions, and you go, well, I really, God sent a prophet? That don't work. That don't work. Well, explain this one God. God sent a prophet? No, you got to have your own revelation. So Abram is now getting a revelation from God that I can do it now.
Right.
And he's going to tell him, who is he going to do it with?
Right, exactly.
With his bride.
Right.
The right bride.
Amen.
Hey, man, there's brides, bride, churches, Hagars, Hagars, and Hagars.
Right.
But there'll come one bride, Sarah.
Right.
And you're going to have the promised child.
Right.
Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father. That just makes me feel good.
Right.
When you see, you know, Abram's kind of blunt, kind of Abram. But when you say Abraham, Brother Bram said he gave Abram part of his name, the Ham, the Am, the I Am,
Amen.
Jehovah, and all that, you know.
Right.
Abraham.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 letters now.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Abram is 5. That's okay. But 7 is completion. 5 is grace. Listen, you walk under grace even still now, but you really walk under grace, under justification and sanctification, because you make a lot of mistakes.
Right, correct.
And God has grace for you.
Yes.
But now there's a time when God's going to look at you just like your daddy did one time and said, son, grow up.
Right.
And old Tom Fallbush, I can see that big old hand go right upside the back of your head.
Amen.
That's what God does. He finally says, hey, he's going to do it to you. He's going to, hey,
yeah.
Wake up. Well, that's what he did to Abram. He said, hey, you're going to be Abraham now. Listen to me. And I will. Now, here comes I wills again. Verse 6, I told you. 6, 7, and 8. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Listen, I believe the tone of God's voice changed. Because the tone of God's voice changed when I became born again.
Amen.
His voice was more clear.
Right.
His voice was more precise.
Yeah, right.
His voice was more, it had a lot more clarity in it.
Right.
And you knew God was talking to you.
Amen.
Right.
And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I'm sure God's over there. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to make, you finally come to the place I want you to be.
Right.
99 years I've been waiting on this.
Right.
2,000 years I've been waiting on this. King shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee. And thy seed after thee in their generations. I finally got the right people here.
Amen.
And thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant.
Glory.
To be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein you're a stranger. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. But guess what? Where's them treasures going to fall back to? Right here. I love what Brother Abraham said. Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker of God, and he was walking right on top of where the city's going to sit down. Amen? You know what, though? He didn't have an updated revelation. He had a revelation of the time, but he was looking for that place. And it was right under his feet because it took a little prophet to come and say, look, that mountain's going to push up right where Abraham had. Talk about a GPS.
Yes.
Through Brother Branham, he told him, said, right there where the mountain's going to push up. Remember the Bible says the mountain's going to push up, cleave from one side to the other? He said it's right there in the same spot where Abraham met Melchizedek, right here, what we're fixing to talk about. Very spot where that city's going to come down and that's where we're going to live. What about a positioning system? That's God's positioning system, not GPS like we have that tells you to recalculate. God's never recalculated in his life. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto you and thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and thy seed after thee the land where there are strangers, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant. My covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. Now remember, this had to be a type of what happens at our new birth.
Right? Exactly right.
Because what God's telling them now, and we know being males, and if you're circumcised or not, that don't make a bit of difference. Remember that question popped up in the New Testament, and Paul says, it's not the heart, circumcision of the heart. Doesn't matter if your circumcision is physical or not, you know, here. But what does that do? That cuts off the foreskin or the excess flesh. And it's something that Abram did. God didn't circumcise. Abraham circumcised himself. Now look, watch this though. Where's he going to put you? And it shall be a token of the covenant. Because remember, Abraham got a promise. And then, I'm going to be a little graphic here. But what happens is that separated the people all the way till Jesus' time. In other words, you could say, where are you from? Because they all kind of looked alike. Where are you from? They go take them out behind the tree and, oh, you're of Abraham's lineage. You're of Abraham. You're separated people. Right? So they could physically show, just like you and I now physically show.
Right.
Yeah. Not by that way, but we physically show in this thing that we've had circumcision.
Right.
But look when it happens. On the eighth day.
Right.
Not the seventh day.
Right.
Brother Ram always explains it. We're all in the new birth. We're in the eighth day.
Yeah.
In eternity, we're in the eighth day. Our 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child. Now, we know what all that is. But it's the taking off of the foreskin. Now, watch verse 11 right here. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be a token. Because remember, God couldn't enter them in the new birth. The baptism of the Holy Ghost couldn't enter into the man in the Old Testament. Has everybody got that? But to be a separated people, he let them do that in their natural foreskin so that they can be a separated people. Has everybody got that? I mean, I hope everybody sees that.
Amen.
That's why God did that.
Right.
All right. It was a physical showing of what lineage they would come from, Abraham and his house. And the lineage we come from God, we show the circumcision by the circumcision of the heart. What? We're a separated people, not by the physical body, because we can go walk out here in the world and we look just like the world. Not exactly, but we do. We are human men and women. But what happens to us, though, when we receive the new birth, we start moving over this way. Now, you don't do it. You should never separate yourself, but God separates the people. Okay? God separates the people. The excess foreskin. Amen? So he that is 8 days old, so here we come, you get circumcised on the eighth day.
Right.
Now it's a wonderful thing to know that after 7 days, before 7 days, physically your blood doesn't have the clotting agent in it.
Right.
So God knew and even typed that out in your own human body. And that was back then when they didn't have cauterization. Now they do it now where they cauterize it with heat. But back then they didn't have that. When you were circumcised, and you were circumcised before 7 days, you'd bleed out because they had no way to stop it. You had no coagulation in your blood or whatever that was. If Sarah was here, she could tell us. Vitamin K or whatever that is, it clots your blood. Your body doesn't develop it till after the seventh day. So God knowing that, but typing everything through the Bible. Putting us in the eighth day,
right.
Saying it has to be 8 days before the man circumcised. All
right?
Every man child, he that's born in thy house, He that is bought with our money must needs be circumcised. In other words, everybody attached to Abraham now, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting. Now look, it's not an eternal covenant.
Right.
It's an everlasting covenant. Because when Jesus came, and Paul comes up and says, look, it doesn't matter if you're physically circumcised or not. You got to be circumcised inside.
Right.
Inside now. That had to be an outside showing. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, look, that soul shall be cut off from his people.
Right.
They physically didn't let that kid in the religious ceremonies.
Right.
It meant that much to God at that time to separate them from that, but look how it shows all the way down to now.
Yeah. Right.
Listen, you can walk through justification, you can walk through sanctification, and we see now that people that's walked in sanctification, they're now turning away.
Right.
Because you can't receive the new birth, as in Romans tells us, you can't fall away from being born again. And if there's Baptists online, I'm sorry, but this once saved, always saved, that's not right. In the condition they tell you, because they just tell you you made a decision at 10 years old, and it doesn't matter if you have 14 wives and drink beer and smoke cigarettes. Right here is where God, no, it's a walk. God only moved on Abraham after he went through all this journey to 99 years. Now look, they'll be cut off and hath broken my covenant.
Right.
So if you're not born again today, you've broken the covenant of God. Because the covenant of God is the promise.
Right.
That you will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, eternal life in your soul.
Right.
And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, he's not forgetting Sarah. Thou shalt not call her contentious anymore, but Sarah. Sarah shall be her name. Sarah, not Sarah. Now look at what he says right here. I'm trying to skip on through here. Her name is now Princess, but watch in verse 16. Yeah. And I will bless her. Now he's not said a word about her. You hear me? He's not said one word about putting her in the promise or anything. He said, Abram, I'll bless you. Abram, I'll bless you. Abram, I'll bless you. Now he brings the wife in.
Right. Yeah.
Now she's been there the whole time, but she was Sarai.
Right.
She needed a name change.
Glory.
Amen. Are we getting a spiritual application of this?
Amen.
And without going through it, because it's 2:56 now. And I will bless her and give thee a son of her. So here we go. The promise is now. God says, I'm going to take you, change your name. Sarah, you're now Sarah. And now the promised son's going to be between the both of you. And Sarah looks at him and goes, I'm 99. I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, and kings of people shall come out of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Now remember how the story goes. Abraham laughs out loud at God and doesn't get in trouble. But Sarah sniggers in her heart a little bit later on in the journey. And Brother Branham said if it wasn't for Abraham, God would have killed Sarah. You see how much God reveres his promise. His promise had to come through Abraham and Sarah. Not sinner Louise. Christian Louise. Not sinner Zach. God's not going to bring anything through that. The devil is bringing things through that. But the Christian Zach.
Yes.
Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He still got a little bit, I mean, you know, He's coming to a place of the new birth, but it's right, even at your first walk, you're having problems. But God's going to keep going though, and watch. God's not going to kill you. He's not going to kill Sarah for thinking these different things, because he knows the end. And God said, Sarah, Abraham, remember what I said? Tom Fallbush, hey boy, listen to what I'm saying.
Right.
Talking to you. That's what Brother Dale does every Sunday. Hey, talking to you. God says through Brother Dale, hey, talking to you. And God said, look, Abraham, I'm going to write it down for you. He did. He wrote it in the Bible. He wrote it down for him. Look. And God said, Sarah, your wife. I hope ain't no Sarah right now. Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. Abraham, I'm going to spill it all out for you. And I will establish my covenant with him. Always move the covenant now from just this to now. Brother Luis talks to brother so-and-so and he comes in and he shares a message with him and he shares eternal life with him. And now the covenant's gone to this guy. Brother Dale started a church, 12 people. Got a little over 100 now. Not here today. But there's spiritual multiplication. He said, hey, Brother Dale, I've called you to do something. I've called you to be my spiritual multiplier. And I want you to come to Lula and preach to the people. And that's where the promised sons and daughters of God are going to come from. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him.
Amen.
And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him. Like Brother Ram says, he said, God, even in permissive will, God will bless you.
Sure.
But it's got to work back to his perfect will.
Right.
Because watch what he said. Look. As for Ishmael, I've heard thee. I've heard these people that are foolish virgins. I don't forget them, and I'm not going to forget them. They're going to be wild child. They're not going to go through what you're going through. They're going to have a lot of tribulation. They're going to have a lot of problems. So Ishmael, to me, would type the people that get eternal life are the foolish virgin, because he's not going to forget them. Watch. And I have blessed him and will make him fruitful. And will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But I didn't make a covenant with him.
Right.
But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him because what? God had to go get in some flesh. He was talking to him in spirit form in the theophany, but he said he left him. He left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Now we see all these, what happens here. Watch this. And I'm going to tell you this and let you make your own assumption. Look at verse 24. Are we up 20? And let's read 23. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house. Now this is the natural type, because Ishmael had to be, he told him, everybody in his household. And all that were bought with his money, every male among men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the self same day. Now these were not children, these were men. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Now, not to be so graphic, but it's a real good type. If all of you were circumcised right now, tomorrow you'd walk different. You'd have to heal, but you'd walk different. And that's what happens when you get born again. You walk different because God has given you something. He's given you and put you in that covenant of promise. When you receive the new birth, sure, you should have started in sanctification walking different. But now that you come to the new birth, there is no doubt that you're going to walk different. If you circumcise yourself at 90 years old, he circumcised himself. Abraham did. Remember? Right there. When he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 when he was circumcised. They all walk different. You get born again, you're going to walk different.
Right.
And all the men of his house, born in the house and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. They all walked different from that day forward.
Right.
And I think, you know what, let's just stop right there. That's long. I'd love to get to where, but we'll stop right there. It'll give me something else to preach later on. But that's the new birth. Let's read now some of the quotes. I'd like to get on to where, because remember, you got to meet Melchizedek. just like... Now remember, he met Melchizedek in justification, but remember, you didn't see any of meeting Melchizedek in sanctification. Right? But here we come to the end of the journey, not the end of his journey, but we come to the part where we look. Go to Ezekiel 36, right where it says new birth, Genesis 17, Ezekiel 36. That's where you need to be, right there. God appears again, and he's becoming intimate now.
Yeah. Right.
And we'll talk about that maybe next Sunday or whenever we come back. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries. Now, this is what we read a little while ago, but we're going to go further with it. Because remember, we're into the new birth now. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and your idols will I cleanse thee. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit. Now we're talking about that. Remember, that new spirit is not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit. My spirit. Now that's Almighty God. Not a third person of a Trinity. That's Almighty God Himself. That I will put my spirit in the form of the Holy Spirit, which we know He's in triunity. He is a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But He's going to put that spirit, but it's the same person. And cause you, see, to walk. You're going to walk a little gingerly at first. You're going to walk a little different. That's why He made, when He changed Jacob's name to Israel, he wrestled with God. God smacked him on the inside of his thigh, and he walked different.
Right.
He became a limping prince. You know what? Everywhere he went, I like what Brother Ernie said, everywhere he went, he'd ask, him, what's wrong? He said, well, I met God.
Yeah.
And I walked different after I met God.
Right.
I walked different. And same way with you and I, we walked different. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them.
Amen.
You didn't do that up here. You did it right here when my spirit went within you.
Right.
The eternal life, the new birth.
Right.
Now, if you Baptists or whatever want to, if you want to go to that part where you walk different and you don't do the things you used to do, I'll go with you. But not if you continue to do the things you've been doing.
Right.
What do you get saved from?
Right.
That's what I told that guy. He's drinking a beer and cussing like a sailor. And he said, oh, I got saved not too long ago. I said, what'd you get saved from? What did you get saved from?
Right.
To me, and we were in a boat fishing, and he was a bank president. I didn't care. I didn't bank at his bank. But I said, look, John, if I knocked you out of the boat, I said, and you drowning, I said, I'm going to save you by taking you from one position and putting you in a boat. I said, what you're telling me is that God pulled you out of the water, and you jump right back in. And every time you drown, he pick, no. No. Our promise is that we'll walk different.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
I'll put my spirit within you. Look at verse number 5. We'll read these quotes and then we'll be done. We'll really get into the new birth then. We can use a whole section next time. Hidden life with Christ, 1956. Right. Now the Bible said that he would give us a new heart and he would give us a new spirit. And many people, even Pentecostal people and full gospel people has been deceived in that. Boy, can you imagine how many of them went under the bench?
Right. Oh, yeah.
But the Baptist is going, ha, people over there. No, he's talking to everybody. You've been deceived by it? Many times God said, I'll give you a new spirit. That wasn't his spirit. That's your spirit.
Right.
Then I will put my spirit in you. I'll give you a new spirit. Then I'll put my spirit in you. And many times you get the new spirit and think you've got the Holy Spirit. And trusting upon emotions and signs and things when your life doesn't... Wake up back there. Well, you got to go. Okay. When your life doesn't pivvy up to that, look that word up, would you? Now, that's just a little raw, but remember, that's the truth. Many people, that spirit, and I'm warning you the same way, don't let that new spirit make you think it's the Holy Spirit.
Exactly right.
God had to give you a new spirit to get along with His Spirit. Well,
amen.
Some people are so mean they can't even get along with themselves, let alone with God if He'd come in. That's right.
Right.
So doubtful and up and down, God has to give you a new spirit, give you a new nature so you can get along with His Spirit when it comes in. Amen. I hope you see that. God gives you a new spirit for yourself. Then He puts His Holy Spirit in there to dwell with you and abide with you. All right, let's go to number six. Number six, impersonation of Christianity. What a good name for a title. Now watch, the Bible says, I'll give you, take the old stony heart and give you a heart of flesh, tender hearted. Then I'll give you a new spirit, and then I'll put My Spirit in you. Now watch, His Spirit was different from your new spirit. And many people gets the new spirit and think they get the Holy Spirit. They get feeling happy, jump around, maybe do a few things religiously, and they think that they got the Holy Spirit. Oh, no. The Holy Spirit makes you act different. Like I said about circumcision, it makes you walk different. The Holy Spirit makes you think different. The Holy Spirit is put right in the middle of your new spirit. And your new spirit was put right in the middle of your new heart.
Right. Yes.
New heart. New Spirit, Holy Spirit, three men, just like Brother Brown told us, we have the three men, the outside, five senses, middle five, and one in the middle. So He's putting it right there together. The new heart, the new spirit, in the middle of the new heart, and says, God said, I'll put My Spirit in you. Now then, God's Spirit sits right in the middle of your spirit, your new spirit, and then you don't have to go out and act like Miss Jones does. I hope there's not somebody like that in here. And like Mr. Jones does, there's just something in you. You just got the love of God so down in you till you just live it.
Glory.
It isn't you. It's something in you.
Right.
All right. Number seven. This is the last one, and we'll stop right here. Number seven. Let me get to the right one. Why some people can't keep the victory. Now, many times we try to make things just say, well, as soon as you get the new spirit, you quit your stealing, you quit your lying, things like that. You say, oh, hallelujah, I got it. And you find out the first time anyone crosses your path a little bit, oh, mercy, what a difference. Sure, you blow up like a frog eating buckshot.
Right.
But let me tell you, brother, that's the reason you never got God's spirit. That's true. Oh, you say He stepped on my toes, I'll just not put up with that. All right, what shows what you got in you? That shows what you got in you. That's true.
Right.
I'll put a new spirit in you, and then I'll put My Spirit in you.
Right.
Now, the heart is the center of the emotions of the human being. Now, not the thumping heart. He's talking about the inner, just like the core. Your heart is the middle of you. That's exactly right. So God puts a new heart in the middle of the old man. All right? Everybody got that? That's the one He gave the new heart, the pliable one. Then He puts a new spirit in the middle of the new spirit, or heart, and puts His Spirit in the middle of the new spirit.
Right. Amen.
That explains that your memories and conscious, or your see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, memories and conscious, affection, imagination, the spirit of man and the inside man is either full of the Holy Ghost or full of the devil. You can't say it. There's no half. There's no medium. There's no I think I do. I'll promise you one thing, brothers and sisters. The next day, Abraham knew he'd been circumcised.
Right.
He knew it. He was reminded of it every day.
Yeah.
Amen? So that's the same thing about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost reminds you every day, hey, you're mine.
Yeah.
You're mine. You don't walk like that. And you're sure we're going to get slapped on our hands. We're going to get all these different things that we may lean over to one side, but you just, that desire of not doing it anymore is gone.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
And then He takes that desire of, that's why people, heavenly days, musicians come. I hope I don't say this wrong, but there was a person in our post office, and she was showing me the things that they had bought to put up to eat. What was there? Wine? Beer? And liquor. I said, y'all going on a liquid diet? But that was what was important because, see, that fueled what they thought they would need that to get through this. They needed a spirit, all right. Kelly, I hope you're not watching in. But they needed the Holy Spirit because what? That same desire that you human beings have, that when we have fear and all these things that we have, that same desire in the world outside, it's quenched with beer and alcohol, or beer and wine and liquor, and they think that's going to take care of it.
Oh, yeah.
But if they'll get the baptism of the Holy Spirit,
come on,
the real Spirit, Let's stand to our feet. That spirit will what? Last for an eternity, not for just what? One night. Because look, circumcision didn't last for just one day. It was for the whole, even, we'll get into this next week. Because even when Abraham was changed back to a young man, it wasn't reverse process. He was circumcised when he came back to young. Because listen, if you don't get circumcised, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're not going to get a new body. Amen? Because of the circumcision that you have had now in the flesh, not the flesh, but in what? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then that's going to carry you to your body change, and there you're going to be circumcised by the heart, not by the other way. But Abraham, as he walked from then till the day he died, he knew he had come to a place that he had made a decision and he had changed. And that's what you and I got to come to. See that God has changed us. He's changing me, the song says, from glory to glory, he's changing me. Amen? We're heading toward a body change, folks, and we'll.
Right.
But if you don't have, if you're not circumcised,
come on,
you're not going to have a body change.
Right.
That circumcision meant a lot back then.
Right.
Spiritually, it means a lot now, because
right.
it means your eternal destination.
Right.
It meant Abraham's destination where he was going, and it means your eternal destination right now.
Right.
Let's sing a song.
Amen.
Let's worship God for just a little while.
Born Again, page 492.
Page 492.
Born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said.
Amen.
Oh, born again, and all because of Calvary.
Changed him into Abraham and gave him a different walk.
Born again, just like Jesus said. Oh, born again, and all because of Calvary. Oh, I'm so glad that I've been.
Sing that 489 there, Brother Luis, right across to the top. Jesus be the Lord of all. Is that okay? With that? Key of F if you need to.
Jesus be the Lord of all.
Worship him even when you're there in your home, Lord. We pray if there's anybody that, Lord, has a fear of this thing that's coming on, we pray that you would settle their fear, Lord, and change it into faith. That we'll realize, Lord, that you've changed us, Lord. And that we love you for that, Lord.
Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdom.
Surrender all.
Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdom's of my heart.
You know, we were in a service a long time ago. It may have been Louisiana camp, and the brother was singing that song, and he said, you know, he says, as a police officer, he said, this is not surrender. I know Brother Dale can't lift his left shoulder, but look, if you come up and the cop tells you to surrender and you're doing this right here, you're going to have an extra hole. Because they don't know what's behind here. You have not surrendered all.
Right.
But if you got both, that's why they tell you, both hands up, both hands out. Why? Because you've surrendered.
Glory.
So let's sing it one more time and let's really surrender. Jesus, I surrender all. Hiding nothing. We're hiding nothing. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdoms of my heart. Oh, Jesus, be the Lord of all. Jesus, be the Lord of all. Jesus, be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my heart. You know, the Bible says when that God had to leave Abraham. Now, he didn't leave him. He's not going to leave him in your birth. But you know what he had to do? He had to go get in some human flesh. And what happened at your new birth? You know one thing's for sure. I know I got to get what I need from a man in human flesh.
Right.
Standing right here.
Right.
Talking outside down to Sunday school class. So God just moves over and gets into human flesh.
Right.
And then we'll talk about that later. Then he meets Abraham
right.
in human flesh.
Yes.
Amen. So God bless you. Love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you all for coming. And we'll do this, like I said, Wednesday night. Same format. Same people, nobody extra, because we're doing it just like the way the government wants us to do at the moment. And we will have Brother Bob will be with us. And like I said, we'll have the same, we'll do the same format. We'll start at 7, we'll play the tape till 7 o'clock, start at 7, 7:15, Brother Bob will be out in the pulpit. And just pray. If you don't feel good, please don't come. Okay, because listen, sickness can get on this thing right here. We're not immune from it, but we pray that God will keep that dome over us, that protection, like the land of Goshen and like he did with the children of Israel, that when the plagues fell, they were sitting in total light and the whole world was in total darkness. Same God. Same God. And he was just with the people then. He's in us. He was just with them. Now he's in us. So we carry that light with us, that light of Goshen. So if all minds clear, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you give us. We thank you for the time that's allotted that we've come here, Lord, to serve you, Father, in spirit and truth. And we pray, Lord, that you would bind us closer together, Lord. Let us look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. We know the world is trying their best to do what they can, and we're going to let them do that. They only know of physical drugs and physical things they can do, but Lord, we know that you work in a totally spiritual realm. We know that you can go now to these different countries, and as we pray every day, Lord, you know that we pray the Lord that you'll that the censor will run through this United States of America and the different countries, and that you'll stay this plague, Lord.
Yes.
That the death toll will go down, Lord, here at once you get people tested. I know the different media outlets don't want you to know, people to know that, you know, 90% of the people are not affected and they're just, you know, hanging on the other things. But Lord, we pray that we've already read yesterday's news. I mean, we've already read tomorrow's news.
Yes.
We've already read the news for the next whatever time till the end time comes, Lord, because you gave us a prophet and you gave us the word. You gave us spiritual insight so that we can see and understand what's going on, Lord. So I pray that we not fear. That's what's gripping this world, Lord, that we'll not fear because we know what's coming next. Because you told us, Lord. And we've got that now. We've got that spiritual rudder on the back of our boat.
Yes.
And we know that, Lord, when you turn it in one direction, that's the way that boat's got to go. So I pray, Lord, that you would truly be the Lord of all of our hearts. And that you'll put your spirit, if somebody today is not born again, that you'll take your spirit and put it in their spirit. And make them, Lord, an eternal creature with you. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins. Be with us on the way home. Be with us in our jobs that you'll keep us, Lord, that we'll have good jobs, Lord, as we continue through this. Lord, you've always done it. You've always took care of your own, Father. So I pray that you do that, but I truly do pray that you'll extend that grace to the world and that you'll help them, Lord. We know they're not all going to be saved, but Lord, we pray that you would stay this plague. That you would help them, Lord, as they're in pain and agony in all the All the whole world is groaning. The Bible says, Romans, the whole world now truly is groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Father, give us, Lord, truth. I believe you have. I believe you'll keep us, Lord, till we come back Wednesday night with our brother Bob, and you'll give him the words of eternal life, Father. Keep our pastor safe.
Yes.
Keep him healthy, Lord. Keep all this away from any of us, all the older ones in the church, Lord, Brother Dick and all the different ones. We pray, Lord, that you'd give them life and that you'll help them, Lord, in this time of trouble. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Born again.